Stars Night podcast. Just a quick one before we get into it. There was some technical difficulties, which means there was no video throughout this podcast. But don't worry, it's still a great watch. So I hope you enjoy. Cheers.
Hello and welcome to the Stars Night podcast. And today I'm joined with Ads Brand Music, here to promote his band Bluff, everything he's doing and just everything in between. So how are you, Matt?
Surviving it, mate. Surviving.
That's what we like to hear. So there's only one place I can really start. I think it's something that got your name out there on the social media world recently, and that's the salt and milk prank, you could say.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I might be a bit guilty on that. How
did that all come about?
I just had a bunch of Arctic Monkeys fans message me saying that they wanted to do some like West out prank, like where they convince everyone that there's a fake Arctic Monkeys album being leaked. And I was looking at it and I was like, right, that could be funny, but you can't do it too legit, otherwise you are going to wind people up. I was like, there's a way to make it funny and like mitigate how much it's actually going to disappoint or wind people up and that, you know what I mean? Which is call it something stupidly ridiculous. And then I was like, you've got to just do a Rickroll. You can't, because they wanted to do a frigging convincing track. You know what I mean? So yeah. I was like, no, you can't do a convincing track where it seems like it might, but you've got to do a flipping Rickroll. It's got to be the stupidest thing. And then like, at the end of it, I was like, right, sound, donate all the ad revenue to charity as well. So that like, if I'm pranking someone and if I'm being a bit of a dick, I'm being a dick with good intentions and for a good cause.
But I mean, the problem was you used salt and milk, but because of Arctic Monkeys' last album, which was so outlandish, people believed it.
Yeah. So, I thought that Alex Turner had come up with some weird-ass metaphor for, like, I saw things about sex and drugs, and I was just like, I wish we'd thought of that, to be honest, because... It was the first thing that came to one at group's head. Like, that'll be funny. So yeah, I don't know why, but it was just so convincing because Alex Turner, I guess, is a West out dude who does crazy stuff creatively, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't put it past him calling an album sort of milk. That's the problem. So
exactly, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you're a big fan of Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Arctic Monkeys album?
Oh, son of a... It's one of them where it changes every day, mate. It depends. It's got to depend what mood you're in. You know what I mean? If I'm feeling... Yeah. Sometimes I feel like... I don't know. I feel like you can only really... You know when you've been to, like, the chippy and that, and you get, like, meat pie, curry sauce and chips? You're not going to be listening to, like, Humbug after that, are you? You're going to be listening to whatever people say, and that's what I'm not. If you've gone getting meat pie, curry sauce and chips from a takeaway, mate, you're listening to the most British music you can get your hands on. You know, before any American influence came in, mate, you know what I mean? So it depends on the day, is my answer.
Honestly, one of the best analogies I've ever heard about listening to Arctic Monkeys, that going to chippy for meat pie.
Oh, yeah. There was a girl I was speaking to, like, a while back. I was speaking to this girl, and she turned around and she was just like, if, like, Humbug is sex by candlelight, AM is getting fingered on a buzz or something like that. And I was just like, fair enough. Like, that's one way of looking at it. Right?
I don't know if you managed to check out our Arctic Monkeys podcast, but I made it abundantly clear that for me, Tranquility Base is the best album we've done.
You love Tranquility Base?
I do.
Oh, mate, you're such a lefty. Like... Oh man, to be honest, it's grown on me, that one. It was very much a fucking slow burner, like, but it's definitely grown on me.
Yeah, I mean, well, most of the songs are slow burners on there, but I think if you can just appreciate it for what it is, and it's not meant to be Arctic Monkeys, I don't think. I've spoken to quite a few people about it and they say it's more of a Alex Turner solo project with a backing band, and he makes that clear as well in the fact he was showing Matt Helders how he wanted stuff drumming, and this one of the best drummers in the world.
It's one of them things where the album, it didn't blink in, hit me like, oh, this is it, like with every other album where it's like, this is it now, fucking amazing, I love it straight away. But it's like, it's one of them where it didn't hit you instantly, but I'd rather Alex Turner, like, it'd be weird if he tried doing whatever people say, I'm not, like part two when he's in his 30s rather than his late teens, early 20s, you know what I mean? You can't do the same thing every time.
No, and I think you just got to appreciate that the band has progressed, but I don't like these people who say you can only like Tranquility Base, or what other people say, no, you can appreciate the band for what they've become and how they've progressed and how the first album was amazing, but they're still amazing. I feel like it's split the fan base, definitely.
I bet people said the same thing about the Beatles when they were changing and evolving.
Yeah, and now we look back, it's just Beatles just incredible throughout. So my next question for you is, what are your musical influences? Like, what makes you want to be involved in the music industry?
Ah, oh, man. It's one of them where I get reinvigorated, re-inspired by something new all the time. Like, when I was younger, I was listening to bands like Oasis more often, and The Shins, which is like a little indie band, you know. But it changes and it transitions. Like, now, I don't know, you know, with the lockdown that's been going on, Machine Gun Kelly, this blinking rapper, he's absolutely been smashed. Like covers of some songs, and now he's dropping a pop punk album and he's a rapper, and it was like, all right, he's done something there where he's gone from rapping to pop punk stuff. I could do that at some point. I could switch up what I do musically, and like, what if I just kind of did make my own songs, my own music videos? It's whatever's, yeah. So at the moment, I guess Machine Gun Kelly, but over the years, The Shins and Oasis and Arctic Monkeys and whatever, it's whatever like newly pops up in my head and inspires me in a new way.
Very nice, very nice. So is that like sort of stuff you've been listening to recently when writing songs for your band, Bluff?
Oh, yeah, mate. I've been listening to... With Bluff, it's like... I kind of have a creative vision of... We all have a creative vision of where we want that band to go and what space it's going to occupy. You know what I mean? It's kind of got the early Arctic Monkeys mixed with some Blossoms, mixed with all the best of Catfish and the Bottlemen, all the best of the fucking like top indie bands and shit. That's what we're trying to do. So, you know. Just
bringing it all together.
I take it or leave it me. Cal and Yanni are absolute writing geniuses. When I jump, every now and then I'll jump in with something like catchy and just be like, we'll put this on and the crowd will go a bit mad. We'll play this song, they'll friggin' love it. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be a crowd banger, it'll be a crowd pleaser. But the lead singer, Cal, and the guitarist, Yanni, are two like musical, proper like artists. Like, they actually know what they're doing and that, whereas I pick up a guitar, strum a few chords and have a bit of a whisper or a yell depending on the day. And our drummer Charlie, he's an absolute maniac as well. He blinking like smacks the hell out of the drums at the end of the gig, you know what I mean? Make sure that you have a nice 10-minute long drum solo when we're all leaving the stage and stuff. So it's a good combination of dudes, man.
Nice. So you've got a new single out, 31st of July, I believe it is.
Yeah, mate.
What's been the process behind that? Like, what's the song about?
Oh, mate. Well, to be honest, it's about God knows frigging what. It's about some weird... Telling them with their blinking creative, like, stuff. They'll say some really, really clever things. And I just, like... You know how with Fallout Boy, where it's like, that sounds so cool, what the fuck is he talking about? I think I'm a bit too thick to know what they're on about in the songs. But my God, mate, it goes off. To me, this one was just about like having a kind of a fast one with some guitars blasting away. You know what I mean? We've done like our most recent single, Storm, was like slow and kind of sweet and stuff. Whereas now I think we wanted to have something that actually yelled at people a bit and actually slapped people in the face a bit. You know what I mean? And it's called 50-50. Which, you know, is just a cracking little title, quite easy. I feel like we've ripped it off from about 90 bands with a song of the same title, but here we are, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's really just kind of a tune to just slap people in the face and be like, oh, by the way, we're a fucking sick indie band, mate, like, have a listen.
Nice. So how long have you been together?
I joined them, it must have been October last year, because Carl, well, originally I met Carl, because he needed someone to do his assessment with him, his performance assessment at our uni. And like, he met me, and it was actually kind of West, because I rocked up with 20 chicken McNuggets. And at the time, me and some lad were having a bit of a tizzy, I'll say. I can't go too much into it, because it was over nothing. Like, it was. But basically, the guy had gotten a bit eggy with me and was like, oh, let's have a fight and whatever. So the first time Cal properly met me, I was on the phone like, mate, I'm in Manchester. Come to Manchester. I'm ready for you. Put the phone down. You're all right, mate. Do you want a nugget? And then like, he was just like, by the way, I recognize you from YouTube. So it was kind of, I feel like that solidified in his mind. He needed me in the band because of just that sequence of like events, you know what I mean? Someone is some chicken nuggets, and like also he already knew me from YouTube. He was gonna get me on board, weren't it? You know what I mean?
Amazing. So obviously your YouTube is, you got quite a relatively big platform now, but how did it all come about? Like, when did you start? Why did you start?
Originally, I had like a band that I wanted to promote through YouTube. And then I realized like, oh, I'm quite good at doing the YouTube-y stuff. So I went like proper solo with it and launched Ads Brand Music. And it was weird because like I'd already had an impression of Alex Turner blow up and get shared loads by Radio X and whatever else. And that was cool and stuff. And then I was like, nothing was happening. And I had a video called Things Arctic Monkeys Fans Say that had 10,000 views. I remember I went on holiday in America, and Arctic Monkeys, while I was in America, like they turned around and they were just like, oh, we're dropping a new album soon. So I checked my channel, and this video that had previously had 10,000 views had gone up to 90,000 views. And I had all of a sudden like had over 1,000 subscribers on this new channel. And I was just like, oh my God. I remember I was chilling with my girlfriend at the time, and like we're in Disney, and I went and had like a panic attack in the Disney toilets because I was like, I was shitting bricks. I was like, oh my God, everyone's looking, what the fuck? I'm so weird, I'm so cringe. Like, I had a proper breakdown over it. And then I came back out the toilets like acting like, oh, nothing happening there. I'm completely fine. I'm all cool. You know what I mean? Like trying to make it seem like I was coping well when really it was just a shoot of anxiety. Did a few Arctic Monkeys covers and did a few like meme-y viral type videos and stuff and a few original songs, and a lot of that stuff started resonating with people. And now I prefer to think that I'm the guy who, I more so than me being like a famous rock star and stuff, I'd prefer if somebody turned around and like a musician in 10 years turns around and says, oh yeah, I used to watch Ads Brand Music's videos. That's my goal. Then I can die in peace, mate. You know what I mean? If I've had a positive influence on someone else's musical career and shit and made people realise this fucking idiot can do it, this idiot can get 25,000 subscribers and hundreds of thousands of views. Like, the sky's the limit at the moment for young musicians if I can do stuff, you know what I mean? So hopefully that's where I'm ending up, like, with my with the way things have gone.
Very nice. Well, you've actually kind of touched on my next question, which was what are your plans for the future?
I've got a lot of projects and stuff that I'm, you know, obviously just at the moment I'm focusing on making my own songs and putting music videos with it. I think I'm finally coming to a place where I'm like, oh, that works as a very natural sound, you know, with a new song that I dropped called Slicko, that kind of. So working on that, and obviously getting Bluff as far as I can get Bluff, because those lads are absolutely mental, and the longer the world doesn't know about them, it's just a fucking disservice. It's a disservice to like music to not, like, I'm gonna absolutely like worship the ground a fella walks on here, but Yanni the guitarist, mate, like when I say I call him Yanye West, because musically speaking, he's just one of them absolute like genius creative forces that you're just like, what the hell is this guy on, and where do I get some of it? You know what I mean? So that's my goal, is getting Yanye West famous.
Amazing stuff. But, here at Toxic, we'd love to help you out with that as well. But what I have got to ask is, what are the plans for the band? Like, you got plans to play live? Have you played live before? Just all the stuff like
yeah,
that.
We had just started playing live, and then some frigging disease decided it was going to step on our toes a bit. So the ambition for us, I think we're going to get together, record like a self-produced, self-something sort of maybe 10-track album of some sort at some point before we're signed, because a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of like, oh, well, when we get signed, we can make this. And I feel like that attitude of when we get signed, we can do this is what actually kind of holds people back. It's like, no. Get on there, self-produce, self-make some stuff, you know what I mean? And that's kind of always been our attitude of like, we'll just do it ourselves. We'll put together some, you know, some absolute tracks for people to listen to. And then we're just going to push that like crazy, doing as many live gigs as we can really over the next, as soon as things like, you know, hype up again. I think there's going to be a lot of hype for gigs. There's going to be a lot of hype for live music as soon as things become relatively normal. And we kind of want to be there like, hell yeah, let's make the most of it. We couldn't do this for months. We couldn't do this for the better part of a year. Like, let's make the most of actually live music is back on. Let's be there.
Yeah, I was speaking to Kerry Feeney yesterday on the podcast, and she was saying she wasn't sure whether this was a good time to release new music. She was like, I don't know whether people are going to be interested. I was saying it's the perfect time to be releasing new music and getting into it, because people are discovering new bands more than ever. And like I said, if you're discovering bands in lockdown, you know, that feeling of going and seeing them live when we're all back to normal is going to be incredible. And yeah, I mean, you've got a bit of a different route there from what I've just heard there, because a lot of bands, like you said, wait until they're signed. And a lot of the bands we speak to say, we're not going to release an album until we're signed, until we're more recognised. Yeah,
not disrespect to them, but at the end of the day, we're a fucking band. I mean, much love, but like, we're a fucking band. What we're meant to be doing, we're meant to be making music. Let's make some fucking music. Let's put down some tracks. These days, you can get Logic Pro, audio interface, you know what I mean? All the tools you could possibly need for making some decent music. If you gave that to people like in the Beatles era, can you imagine how much they had to work and graft and save up all their money for like an hour in a studio that you could set up in your blinking bedroom if you wanted to, if you put the work in at some, you know, retail job or something, or you do a few hours of construction, next thing you know, you've got the dollar to splash on an audio interface. Yeah, I mean, if you've got all these resources and tools at your disposal, which a lot of us can have at the blinking 21st century, you know, a lot of us just skip the odd takeaway, mate. And just, you know what I mean? Whatever. At the end of the day, you know, commit yourself to it. You could have all the resources in the world for making music. I'm not saying you have to release everything, but you should have a back catalogue of stuff that you're just making because you love making music. That's the way I do it. That's the thing that keeps me fucking sane, mate, is the thing that of just making my own music on my own and stuff and always having track credit. So as a band, we kind of emulate that philosophy of like, we're doing it regardless of who's on board and who's not. We're here. You know what I mean? This is what we're about.
Well, I think as well is when you have made it, the people then go, oh, bluff band, unreleased singles, and start looking for that back catalogue, which didn't quite make it to the album.
They absolutely love it. And the thing, it's also that thing of that comes back to something personally that inspired me is when I, because obviously I love Fall Out Boy and a lot of American music and stuff. And Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy, his voice kills any indie artist from Britain. Like, Jesus, listen to that voice, you know what I mean? Like, it's got such range. And then I listened to an old kind of tape of like recordings that they made before they were signed called An Evening Out With Your Girlfriend or something. And his voice, it wasn't horrible, but it was no better than your average kid who went to my sixth form and did music with me. You know what I mean? It was such a like, so it actually shows people like, oh, this is where they were then. And now look at them. They can do this musically now. Like, holy shit, I sound like they did when they started. Or holy shit, I'm not where I want to be now with music. But if I start doing things in 10 years, you know what I mean? In 10 years, I could be absolutely the top of my game. My voice could be better. My writing could be better. It's not about the kind of like getting that overnight success. It's about setting up the long game and improving yourself as a musician. You know what I mean? It could teach people that in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I totally get that. Totally get that. And then that kind of brings me on to my next question, which is where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh, mate, to be honest with you, lad, this is going to be, I'm probably going to be the most boring person who's ever answered that question. In that, like, probably, you know, get me CSCS card, get a bit of labouring on the go, you know what I mean? Or some sort of like standard kind of keeps me going Monday to Friday job that I can get up early for, graft at it, whatever else, like whether it's retail labouring, whatever it is, mate. And then like take a few guitar students on the side, you know what I mean? Typical stuff. And if I keep doing music and stuff, it'll be purely out of passion for it. Obviously, if love takes off and stuff, then, you know, chase it and that, whatever. But I used to get really like wrapped up into how much I wanted to be like this famous rock star and this famous whatever, mate. And like now, I level with you, mate. It's like I'd actually rather be quite a regular person. And I think that I don't really want to be super famous. So if it happened, I wouldn't be like, oh nah, mate, I'm out here chilling with Dr. Dre. It's fucking dry, mate. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if the band blew up and we ended up the next whatever. But at the end of the day, mate, I'd be content in 10 years if it can be Mrs. Kid, Disney holiday, standard job, private time and making my own music and having a laugh, you know what I mean, and doing it for fun and taking on the odd student and just getting by, mate. Like, quite a simple, boring dude, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, compared to other bands, because we ask that question to every band, because I feel like it gives us a good idea on, like, their ambition in music and stuff, and none of them have really had, like, a taste of fame that you have. Like you said, you've had hundreds of thousands of views and stuff, so... But you're still ambitious in the terms of, like, you still want your music heard. And I've got a lot of time for that. It's like you've not settled where you are, still want to carry on.
Really, mate, like I say, when I first, the Adsbury Music thing blew up, I did have, like, a full-on, like, panic attack about it. Like, I was anxious about it. And I'm thinking, to be fair, I'm at a state now where I've got 25,000. I can probably flog a bit of merch. I can probably run a few other channels and kind of make a decent enough bit of money off of it. But, like, beyond that, like, who fucking needs it, mate? Who fucking needs to have, like, super fame? I think that's glorified a bit, mate. I'm sounding so deep on you right now. Like, just you know, it's like it's something that I would enjoy if it came to me. You know what I mean? The idea of becoming a super rock, but I'd be so content just living a normal kind of life and having this all be like a kind of cool memory. To be honest with you, I'm out here making memories. You know what I mean? I'm not out here making. I don't know.
I feel like it's quite a refreshing state of mind, because there's a lot of bands out there that just pump out generic songs, just do to see what's made other bands famous, and like, I want that fame, so I'm going to do the same thing. And it doesn't resonate with me personally, because you're just copying. Like, you're not doing it because you're passionate, you're doing it because you just want to be famous. So yeah,
and they also... the career stuff, they chase too much of the fame stuff, they chase too much of whatever, and they forget, like, what, because to me music wasn't really about, like, it was never like, I never saw it as a career choice. To me it was like, I didn't have much friends growing up, I stayed indoors and I just made music, that was it. I stayed indoors because I didn't have many friends, and I just fucking played guitar and started writing songs out of the love of it. And as long as I'm living a life that facilitates my ability to do that, whether it ends up in some sort of creative project, whether I write for a band, a music, whatever I end up blinking doing, like, as long as it facilitates my kind of little drug habit of, like, staying in my room and instead of doing drugs, I'm just writing shed tons of songs, and, you know what I mean? Like, if it facilitates that kind of basic thing that is the foundation of everything I do in life, which is music, because I'm always doing it as well, like, my mates get annoyed, like, because I'll just be on the phone all of a sudden humming something in. Like, me and Charlie, who you've, like, briefly heard bits of from his drilling, we were going to Asda before, and it's, like, genuinely, it's like a drug habit. I literally pick up my phone and I'm, like, humming a melody into it because I need to. As long as I can do that, I don't care if it's the thing that makes me £1 million or 30 quid. As long as I'm doing it, sound, like, absolutely sound, mate.
I'm annoying.
We know the score as well. My mates know the score with that one. Like, Adam's on his phone again. No, he's not talking to anyone. Don't listen to him. He's going boom shakalaka laka over and over again. Genius.
What are you doing?
In it?
Nah, mate. I mean, you've got a passion for something, and I don't think anyone could criticize you for that at all. Like, yeah, you got all our respect. But I suppose, yeah, that's all I've got, I suppose, in terms of yourself. Cheers for the chat. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, decent, mate. Decent. Right, so sound. that's it.
I think you've probably got one more question in me.
Oh, go ahead, mate. What is it?
If you could just listen to one song for the rest of your life, what would it be?
New Slang by The Shins.
No messing about that.
Straight up, mate, I've thought of this before, yeah. New Slang by The Shins, because no matter what phase of my life I've been in, it's felt like it's applied lyrically and musically. It's absolutely fucking genius, in my opinion. And it just has a vibe about it that I can't explain. So if anyone hasn't listened to New Slang by The Shins, then absolute suck your mothers, get on it, because, like, it's an absolute banger.
You've been told. You've heard it here first. But Adam, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to us here.
Safe and sound, mate. Safe and sound. Catch you in a bit. Love yous.
way you used to be. Never down, it was all so sweet. But the persistent rumors had me crying. Oh, how could you lie when I feel